Well, good morning again. Well, you know, the title of our sermon today, which picked out several days ago, is The Promise of 2021. And so far, 2021 feels a lot like 2020, doesn't it? But we're gonna hold on to that promise. I just want to begin today with, let's just take a moment and pray for the new year, for our country, and for the future. And I'm just going to just offer a prayer theme and just pause for just a moment. So if you want to just say a word to the Lord or offer an amen to yourself, and then we'll pray together for just a couple of minutes, and then we'll get on with our sermon time. So let's pray together. Father, as a congregation today, we pray for the promise of a new year. Father, we pray for the physical healing of our world, for the end of the pandemic. Father, we pray for the spiritual healing of our land, that humankind would turn to you, acknowledge you as God, repent, surrender to your will, and live lives of worship and obedience. Father, we pray for our country, for healing from racial and social division, for a return to civility, for unity based on love of God, neighbor, and country. Father, we pray for our governing officials, that they would seek your wisdom, that they would not be guided by a partisan agenda, but would govern with all Americans in mind, that their leadership would encourage freedom, peace, and opportunity for all citizens to thrive and pursue happiness. And Father, we pray for our church in the new year. Bless our gathered radio and online congregations. Continue to sustain our mission and ministries. Fill our hearts with love toward one another. And give wisdom and faith to our leaders. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A new year here at RCC means a new leadership body of trustees and deacons and elders, and we have outstanding leaders here at the church who serve with faith and courage and devotion. I want to just take a minute and introduce to you the new leaders for 2021. I'm going to share their names, and if you're here today, guys, if you'd like to stand for just a moment so we can recognize you. Our trustees for the new year, continuing with the second term, Charlie Woodard, Larry Eggleston, Rick Basinger, and John Newton are our trustees that help take care of the property here and a whole lot of things. Do a wonderful job. Thank you, guys. We appreciate your ministry. Thank you. They also keep us laughing, too. We appreciate that. It's a serious bunch there. For our deacons this year, those that are continuing with the second term, Steve Hartman, Rick Newland, Brock McMullen, Tim Patchett, and our new deacons for the new year, Roger Chapman, Clint Engel, Dale Mathis, Mike Slater, Parker Static, Rob Thomas, and Mike Vincent. We appreciate our deacons and their faithful service. Thank you, guys. Now, today, I'm going to invite the elders to join me on stage. If you want to go ahead and come up here and your stools are up here, we're going to have just a little bit of a discussion today with you. Today, as a body, as a leadership group, we're going to be talking about the promise of 2021 together. So, Rana has all your stools marked, guys. Make sure you get your stool, okay? And we can just, you know, kind of just spread out right here.
I don't have to sit down here.
No. We'll bring it up here. Ron and Jordan, you guys just give me a thumbs up as far as the optics, you know, once we get situated here. Is that good? We good? Is that funny? Okay. Brad.
Brad.
Put my mask on.
We appreciate you, Brad.
Yeah, that's why I scooted over. You didn't have your mask.
Now, this is an opportunity for you to get to know the RCC elders a little bit better and to hear their hearts about our church and the future. It's good to see you guys. The questions that I gave you ahead of time, I threw all those out. So we've got a whole... No, just kidding.
We didn't look at them anyway.
I don't read your emails.
What I'd like to do is we'll go by. Everybody can say something. Just introduce yourself, maybe your family, how long you've been at the church, and just for fun, so we get to know something about your soul, your favorite junk food, your favorite guilty pleasure, okay? So, Brad, I'll start with you down there. How about that? And guys, bear with us for a minute or two as we try to get, we got a lot of mics going on here, so it may take us a minute to get it all just right. So, go ahead, Brad.
I'm Brad Bowman, my wife, Samantha. We have two children, Ariana and Isaiah. Ariana lives in Terre Haute. I've been going here for 19 years. My favorite junk food, now that's pretty tough because I like them all, as you can see.
Pick one, Brad, okay?
I guess my weakness is, chips or Cheetos spicy popcorn that it's hard to find, but if you ever get it, it's really good. Hot and spicy.
Spicy popcorn, okay.
I'm Jason Thurman. My family's right back there. Sandy's my wife, Daniel and Hannah. Josh is already gone. He left for college already. He was just ready to get rid of us. He'd been at home too long, so I wanted to get back. We've been here, I have no idea, 14 years, something like that. I had to phone a friend back there. And I guess I'm kind of like Brad on the junk food. Somebody whispered out chips out here, and if there's a bag of chips in our house, it's in trouble. It doesn't matter what kind it is. Sandy will vouch for that I'm kind of a chipaholic. So.
Ben Porter, my wife Rachel, and son Ethan and daughter Anna are up in the balcony. I've been attending here for 20 years. In fact, December of last year marked the anniversary of standing on this stage with my wife, our 20th anniversary this year. So, guilty pleasure or junk food, according to my wife, that Supreme Pizza does not count as a good source of a vegetable or meat or pizza. So, I guess you kind of have to throw that out. And neither does pie. Fruit pies don't count. So a good peach pie is probably, or an apple crisp, those things don't count towards your daily vegetable or a fruit intake either. So, but I'm pretty much live off of any type of sweets. So, artificial colors and flavors are my thing. So,
very good.
I'm Jim Applehands. My wife Sandy's back here. We have five children scattered from coast to coast in Maryland and Kansas and California, Wisconsin, so our grandkids are not anywhere near, and that causes us some grief, especially this last year where it's harder to get to see our kids and grandkids. I've been here, we've been here about 6 years, I think. September last year was our sixth year here, and my favorite junk food is probably chocolate chip cookies.
I'm Kevin Jacks. I'm Rita Jacks' husband. We have two children, Kyle Jacks and his family, part of this church. We have a daughter in Indianapolis. I grew up in Rockville Christian Church when it was on High Street. Rita and I were married there in 1972. It burned down. We came back to Rockville in 1976. And I like all junk food, as Rita will attest. My favorite's black licorice.
That's too bad, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm Ron Wheeler. My wife, Mary Kay, and I have been attending here for about almost 24 years. We've raised four children here. They're all growing now. My favorite junk food is probably anything that has peanut butter. So peanut butter M&Ms, Reese's peanut butter cups, those kind of things, that'd be mine.
Did you ask that to make sure who was bringing snacks to the next
There thing? You go, yeah.
Black licorice.
Oh, well, that's very insightful, guys. I appreciate that. We have one question that looks back, and then we're not going to look back anymore. We're all aware of the hardships of 2020 and some of the unique challenges. Do you guys see any blessings from 2020? Is there any silver lining that maybe it's kind of redemptive that we can, lessons that we could take with us and use for the future? Anything that maybe, any blessings from last year that we should at least acknowledge? Would anybody like to start with that? Okay, Brad.
Go ahead, Brad.
I know this is tough, that it's to sound like it was a blessing. It's not a blessing, but I think the opportunity for a blessing is there, as Jason spoke last week in his communion meditation. It's tough to say a blessing. Yes, people have passed, and yes, people have been sick, but the opportunity as Christians to disciple and to spread the word of God and of Jesus has been there, and it's tough this close to consider that a blessing, but I hope down the road that is considered somewhat of a blessing, is the opportunity to talk to people that you may not otherwise talk to.
I agree with that. Brad stole my answer, but I'll kind of expand on that, I guess. Just if you've listened to any Christian radio, or if you've looked online or at any blogs, or if you've been in Sunday school and heard some of the things that we've talked about, we're all thinking that way. That now is the time for the church to stand up. Now is the time when the church needs to be the church. My hope is that that's a blessing in that we've realized that finally, that this is really real, that God is shaking things up and his church needs to be active. So there's a double-edged sword there that I think we've realized that now what are we going to do with it? So hopefully we live up to that blessing.
I think it's brought families closer together most of the time in that being in quarantine or being together. But I also think it's been a time of you assess yourself. And I'm closer to the end than the beginning. And we need to take a look at what our relationship was with God, as that brings a reality of we've seen the deaths and things. Is, are we ready?
And I think it's given us really helped us all to appreciate just the ability to gather together like we are here. You know, that was tough when we were all quarantined at home. You couldn't be here. You find out how much you really do depend on your church family. You know, you miss people. I started to miss Kevin Jacks. I knew I'd been away by myself too long, you know, so.
I think this last year, but the fact that we got online, the Facebook and the services online, also on the radio, we found out that they did a survey from WACSI that They had there are 300 people that are listening online on the radio. So I think that's a positive thing going forward. You know, from last year, we obviously were reaching people. There's a lot of people out there that are watching online. And we just reach out to you, and you're part of the congregation too, and we want to be able to reach out to you in different ways this coming year.
Yeah, and to kind of echo everybody's comments, I'm a procrastinator by nature. And so it's forced, I think, myself and probably some others to be a little more intentional, where Sunday morning gatherings can be just part of the routine of the week. But now with when we face limitations of being able to worship and having the option to worship in different venues or even at home, online or on the radio, it's kind of pushed us into being a little more intentional and a little more we're having to make that effort. So.
I appreciate those thoughts, guys. I'm going to make this a little bit broader, and you could speak to it however you'd like. But we've begun to have conversations in leadership about priorities for the new year. And those priorities could kind of stem from maybe a challenge or an opportunity or just something that really feels like, you know, this seems like something that's vital for 2021. And you're thinking, and just in light of maybe some of the things we've been discussing, what are some of those opportunities and priorities for the new year here at RCC? Anybody can go first. So
I think Jim hit on it a little bit there with the idea that there are at least 300 folks listening on the radio. There are probably more because there were 300 surveys that came back that indicated that. That we know we've got an online presence, that we're really trying to do everything that we can to make sure that our in-person gatherings are as meaningful as possible. And I think that we really want to do that throughout every platform this year, make sure that we are really engaging the folks who are either here or online or listening on the radio, make sure that we are living up to our values of scriptural authority, making sure that teaching is relevant and engaging and deep so that you can move beyond the milk and get to the meat. I'm hoping that we're going to try to do all of those things with that other value that we have of God-honoring excellence, that we are really going to put our hearts and souls into what we're trying to do to make sure that we spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ, whether it's here or on the radio or online. We want you to have that message so you can take it with you everywhere you go, and hopefully that's something that we're going to be able to do and push forward with this year.
Yeah, we've had a number of different opportunities for different types of feedback regarding last year, and we're really heavily depending on the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our decision making and what we're going through. As Greg covered and shared during the Christmas message, it would be a lot easier, you know, if a gathering of angels appeared and said, you know, do this, or maybe some of you heard that this morning. Maybe some of you heard that, do not be afraid, when you saw us gathering up here and said, we're not going to sing a song. But we're really relying on that element of listening and listening and doing to devote to gathering as a group of individuals who have their heart and their best interest in providing a community and outreach for believers and non-believers in our area, and listening to that voice on the inside to direct and to guide us in those choices.
Other thoughts about priorities for the new year? Opportunities?
I see a time this year of focusing on discipleship, and one of the things that us elders, our responsibility is to minister to the congregation. I see that as a servant leadership type thing, where we're here to serve you, and our wives are here to serve you, so don't leave them out. We're partners in ministry, and we want to be able to serve you. And I want to be able to, I know that as you have issues in your life, whether it's sickness or death, we want to be able to minister to you during those times. But we also want to be able to, our responsibility is for your spiritual life too. And so I encourage you this year to spend more time praying and in the Bible. But if you have questions or concerns that are spiritual, that's what we're here for. Call us, contact us, call the church, find out, you know, any of us are willing to talk to you about your spiritual life, where you are in your spiritual life, how we can encourage you to grow and be more mature. We're one body. We're all here together. We all have different things to serve, ways to serve, and we just want to be able to help you serve in the best way that you can.
I think as we look into the new year, that we realize that the Bible tells us that we're free in Christ. So in Christ, nothing's changed. And as we go into this new year, we look back, and some of our freedoms have been taken away of where we can go and what we can do. But the freedom in Christ has not changed. And as we look forward to the new year, I hope we will reassess ourselves and see if we are involved. And we encourage you as a congregation to become involved. Don't wait to be asked. If there's an area in the church that you feel like you could help, volunteer. And sometimes we get so busy with so many other things, we forget there's a need. And in volunteering, you help others. And I think we could, hopefully in this upcoming year, we can become other-oriented and not only think of ourselves, but think of those around us. And that's the purpose of congregating and communion.
Well, I think 2020 taught us that, you know, that we had to think out of the box. We have to think out of the box. We continue to have to think out of the box. And like Kevin said, that is evolving. And I think we're dependent upon you as the congregation to help us. If you see areas that you think are somewhere we need to focus on, we need you to be willing to step up and be a volunteer, be someone to bring forth ideas, because we're not perfect. We're not going to get all that right. So we really need you to be a partner in those things.
Would it be beneficial, you guys kind of got talking about how folks can get involved, and that we've kind of split the church a little bit in responsibility and how yes. we're going to lead this year. Not that you can't come to any one of us at any time, but we've kind of split the church into ministries, into pies, and each elder is going to kind of be responsible for some of those things. So would it be beneficial to just kind of say what your area of expertise? But what that is this year?
I know where you're going with this. I know what you want me to say. Okay, I have general ministry, men's, women's ministry, decorations.
That's where I was going.
don't ask me how that falls under my guidance, but I will not be a lot of help. I'll do my best, but I'll try to find someone who can. But just general ministry overall is my area.
My area is working with the staff and meeting with them and helping them in any way that we can.
Missions and money. Anything to do with missions? I'm part of the missions committee, and so if you're interested in attending our meetings, you can ask me, and I'll tell you. Hopefully, I'll remember when they are. Our missions are both. Local, statewide, and international. So we have a committee that works on that. As far as money, I'm the church treasurer, so if you have any questions about money and how the church is doing, I think we're supposed to get together soon and work on the budget for this year. Last year, a lot of money came in, but it was lower than what we budgeted for, but it was also a lot of other things going on that work together against that. So, but overall, the giving was pretty good considering everything that went on last year. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'll be filling in the absence of Larry Rissler, who I'd like to thank for his service as along with Bob Harvey. They left some openings, so this year I'll be working with the buildings and grounds. So. The trustees do a great job of pretty much handling the function of the facility and the church grounds. So I'm basically the elder contact for that one. And then secondly, I'll be working with Rana, and as I have in the past, with worship ministry, Sunday mornings, helping out with baptisms and things like that. So.
I'm going to be digging into discipleship, so things like teaching on Sunday morning, 2:42, hopefully we can get some additional small groups going, and then I also have the hospitality ministry. The welcoming team is going to be something I'll be looking at. So as we are able to get back into that, if you have an interest in that or you are already on that, get with me and we'll try to figure out where we can go with that. Ben says he kind of is filling in for Larry on that building group. Those trustees, again, do a great job. And I'm just going to warn you, deacons, that's probably an area that we're going to ask you to step up in so we can pull Ben out of that and give him his one area back of worship and technology. Because you got a built-in team with that group of trustees. They do such a great job of handling the building and everything that goes on here.
My area of responsibility this year will be the family ministry, including the daycare, the preschool, Jordan, and the children's ministry. And we got hopefully big things coming with the daycare, and we might be using a lot of some volunteers up in that area. So hopefully big things, I don't want to say too much, coming this year on that.
And I appreciate that was a good, I'm glad you guys had a chance to share that. And Ben, you made me think. We've had a couple of elders that stepped out of the eldership this year for different reasons. Larry Risler and Bob Harvey, faithful elders for many years here at the church, and we're very grateful for their service. So if you see those guys, encourage them and thank them for their service. Guys, I'm going to close with this one more thought. I'd like it to be maybe just a little bit more personal, and anybody can respond. But as we think about the new year, what is it that gives you hope? What gives you hope as a Christian as we begin 2021?
That God is who he says he is, that he's still in control, that he's handling this. You know, I said earlier that he's shaking things up, but he's active and working. This is not bigger than God. Nothing that's going on is. You and I talked at lunch the other day, and then I kind of brought up my remain thinking in the meeting the other night. That I personally, as I've studied and kind of prayed and worked through the year, I've really been looking at things that remind me to be steadfast, that remind me to be strong, that remind me to be just true in my faith. Because nothing that's going on in the world is greater than our God. Amen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I truly believe that, and I hope you do too. So I just think that as we move forward, or personally as I move forward, I look at those things. You know, we talk about John 15:5 being that verse I think of. Isaiah 26:3 says that you will be given perfect peace if your mind is steadfast because you trust in him. That's a little bit of a Jason Thurman paraphrase, but that's the kind of stuff I'm looking at. You read from the Psalms this morning, and when you look at those, you see so many symbols being brought up: shield, fortress, rock. That is who God is, and I can trust in that no matter what is going on, no matter what the world brings. That's where my hope is.
Hope and faith are my two words. Faith is my anchor. Faith in God is what defines me, but hope is what keeps me going. And I'll openly admit that I'm a glass half empty kind of guy, and I always have been. And I think that's just my analytical nature of being a problem solver. Not to sound weird, but a lot of us have conversations within our heads of the what ifs, and I think that if that didn't happen, we wouldn't be human. And so within those conversations, being able to listen to, as I talked about earlier, that voice on the inside that's giving you direction, I always go back to to NCIS, I don't know if there's any fans in here of that TV show, but it's my Gibbs gut. It's that thing that prompts you and you shouldn't ignore, This past year, for me, really, it's been taking time to spontaneously pray for people that pop into my head, or to send a message to reach out just to make sure somebody's doing okay. I think that, as I said, faith grounds us and hope keeps me going, but we need to remember that even the best encouragers need encouragement, and that there isn't one of us that isn't affected by something that's going on in this world. Hope is key to survival, and I think that, just being obedient, stretching throughout and beyond the comfort zone, just to do just a little bit more than what we're comfortable in. I think that not only pushes the leadership, but I think that pushes us in our walk in our Christian faith. Personally, my challenge would be to you to listen to that. Don't question it, and just do.
Anybody else want to speak to that? Gives you hope for the year?
Well, my verse, life verse, I guess, is Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for all those that love God. Well, all is a key word in that, all things. And then I was looking in my study Bible this morning, and it said good. It says ultimate good. So sometimes as we work through things, we don't necessarily see the good in them, but they're ultimately good for us. And if we love God and follow Him and give everything that we have to serve Him, it'll all work out. And we got some maybe troubled times ahead, but troubled times bring us together. And that's been throughout church history, 2,000 years, when there's things going on, turmoil, trouble in the world, if the church holds together and works together, that's what God wants us to be. We're supposed to be salt and light in the world, so we need to be out there and involved.
I think of the verse that the things that we're going through now, I'm paraphrasing, are not worth considering to the glories that's going to be revealed to us. So I look forward to this year with anticipation and with excitement in thinking that people have assessed themselves as they realize what's important in life as we're quarantined or the pandemic. And I think out of that will come a renewal and an awakening to the things that God has to offer.
Kind of to piggyback off what Kevin's saying, it's funny, you know, the things that kind of come to you. This morning I was thinking about something my mom had said many, many years ago, and she said, you know, for every valley, there's two mountains. There's a mountain at the beginning, and there's a mountain after. And I look at 2020. 2020 was certainly a valley, and 2021 could be a mountain, but that's, you know, God's present in all this, but it's dependent on us. What are we going to do with 2021? And He certainly has got our attention with everything that's taken place this last year. And I think the opportunity is ripe for to see great things happen in the church, in His kingdom, and all those things. So I have great hope for what 2021 can be.
Thank you.
I'll have to paraphrase. I don't have my Bible up here with me, but Habakkuk has a verse. It's always been, for 30 years, has been my kind of go-to verse. And paraphrase, he says, even though there are no grapes on the vine, even though there are no figs on the trees, even though there are no crops in the field, there are no sheep in the field, no cattle in the pen, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord always. And that building on what Jason said, I'm kind of like Ben. Sometimes I can get a little down on myself. Or down on life, but yet we always rejoice, and we know that the Lord is still on His throne, and we may not agree in politics, or we may not agree, with the virus, but yet God still is on His throne, and so that is my hope, I guess, for this year, is to always remember that no matter what sandwich you're dealt in life, God is still on the throne.
I'm going to close today with a prayer that was shared with me, actually today. It's beautiful. And we'll let this close us out this morning. So would you pray with me, please? God, You know me before I was even born. You loved me and knew every detail of my life.
So as I enter 2021, please fill me with your peace that passes understanding and keep my eyes fixed on you. No matter what I face this year, give me strength and hope and help me to dream with you. Even when it may feel like dreaming isn't possible, show me that nothing is impossible for you. In 2021, please bless me and protect me. Let your face shine upon me and be gracious to me. Please give me your peace and make this a year of breakthrough. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.